Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Father God, we come this morning thanking you and blessing you, God, for what you're doing, God. Hallelujah, through each of our lives, Lord. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for the sacrifice, Father God, and the commitment, God, to your work and your will, Father. Lord, as we yield these clay vessels to you, Father, we pray, God, that you use us, each of us, mightily, God, in this season, Lord. Father God, every mandate, God, that you have placed upon our lives, every assignment, every mission and vision, God, be carried out, God, with purpose, God, in purpose and on purpose, God, deliberately, God, lifting you up and glorifying you, Father. Father God, we thank you for setting our face like a flint, Father God. Hey, in the name of Jesus, Father God, as we will to do your will, Lord, not about us, God, but it's all about you. And Lord, today, God, we just thank you, Father God, for each intercessor, each apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, God. Father God, they have found their way to this call, God, to this prayer room, God. Hallelujah, to be edified, God. Father God, to receive knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, God, that will break strongholds, God, destroy yokes, God. Father God, hallelujah, God, that will give them beauty for ashes, God. Father God, that will provide hope, God. Hallelujah, God, as they open their mouths and declare heaven right here on earth, God. Father God, as you use us as your vessels, God. Father God, to set those things in motion, to activate, Father God, hallelujah, your purpose and your plan on our life, God, that your word will not return void concerning us, Father. Father God, we thank you today, God. Have your way in us and through us, Lord. And Lord, we yield to you today, God. Let our lives be a light, Father God, in the name of Jesus, in those dark places, God, that will shine and draw others unto you, Lord. Father God, as we lift you up, Lord, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you, Father. Father God, we thank you for the man of God, hallelujah, God, this morning, God, as he bring forth the word once again, God, use it mightily, God, to continually teach us and equip us, God. Father God, for the work of the ministry, God, that we may be built up, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Soft Fivefold Conference Call. It's been a week since we've had the opportunity to talk to some of you guys. We understand that some of the participants on the Fivefold Conference Call is also participating in the intercessor's teaching on Thursday mornings. And so with respect to that, some have been a part of the call for the early part of the week. And so, well, yesterday, actually. And, you know, for the past few Fridays, we've been really just playing the recording from the previous day. And so today we're not going to play the recording. Today we're going to go live. We're going to sit and we're going to talk and we're going to hopefully share some aspect of the Word of God that's going to allow you to overcome in an area in your life this upcoming week. I think this morning what we're going to do is we're going to share from the principle of one of the operations of God in how we are to apply the word and how does the word challenge us? How does the word produce growth? How does the word seek to produce growth in the life of the Christian, in the life of the kingdom citizen? And you know, there's a roadmap for that. There's an explanation for that. There's a place where God shows us through Scripture exactly what's going to happen. And before we get into this teaching this morning, you know, as always, we always want to indicate that this is a fivefold conference call, and we don't specifically mention fivefold on every call. because we are in a vein. We are in a place where God has brought us back to a realization that there are so many people out there that have no idea what foundational Christianity looks like, what it means to be a Christian. What do I need to know to be able to operate in faith? What do I need to know about myself to be able to go to God? What do I need to know about myself to be properly utilize what Christianity makes available to me? Because it's so many different arenas, so many arenas. There are preaching, there's teaching, there's praise, there's worship. And if you go into one of those settings and you ask someone, okay, what does it mean to be saved? Why do I need to be saved? What is it that happens that makes me need salvation? What does salvation mean? What am I walking toward when I accept salvation? What am I walking away from when I accept salvation? And so it's become very, very obvious to us that there are so many people who say they're Christian. You know, I was talking to a dear friend of ours over the past couple of weeks, and over the past week or so, where this brother said to me, and this is what he said to me. He said, you know, he was witnessing to a couple of guys that work along with him. One of them is a Muslim. The other one is pretty much an agnostic or an agnostic. I was going to say an atheist, but he's pretty much an agnostic. And he was talking to the gentleman, and he was saying, and the one that's an agnostic, he at one time confessed Christianity. And so the guy had a conversation with him. He says, what was your Christianity based on? And the guy told him, he said, I was a believer. He said, but you know, I went to college, I attended a university, and man, when I began to understand all the things that they taught me at the university, man, I could no longer be a believer. So the friend of ours said, man, wow, you mean to tell me, man, you went to school, you went to a college, and that's what made you change from being a believer to being an agnostic? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, okay. He said, well, when you believed the first time, he said, what was your belief based on? And the guy asked him, he said, why did you believe? He said, well, I basically believe because, you know, my parents, I came from a Christian family and they were believers, and so, you know, I became a believer. So he said, well, what was your belief based on? And the guy couldn't tell him. And so he said, and he thought about it, he says, well, so really what you're saying is you really wasn't a believer. And the guy thought about it. And he said, well, what you mean? He says, well, he says, believing is based on something. It's based on something. It's just like, you know, it's just like when you go to work. When you go to work, when you do go to work, you go to work based off of what you believe concerning that job. You believe that if you go over there and you give these people so many hours of work, they're going to pay you. Otherwise, you wouldn't show up to work if you didn't get paid for it. And so after talking to him further, he found out that the guy never believed. He was never a believer. And so it makes it a whole lot easier to minister to a person who has never believed and doesn't really understand what believing is about than it is to so to speak, talk to someone who has somewhat believed, and based off of what they believe, they continue to believe, but what they're believing is erroneous, it's wrong, it takes them in another entire direction. And so to get them to have a truth or belief in truth, you have to tear down their belief system that they have presently and offer them an avenue or offer them another way of looking at what it is they believe or they think they believe or what it is that they've exhibited that they believe. And so, you know, it became very, very obvious and through that conversation and so many other conversations that we have with people, you know, with people throughout the week, throughout the days, you know, and we talk to them and we ask them, you know, what is it that you're believing about Christ? What is it that you know about Christ? What is your belief based on? What is your Christianity? What does your Christianity look like? And a lot of times, you know, you'll be surprised some of the answers you're getting, some of the answers you get from some of these people. And so it becomes very, very evident that we, as being representatives of the kingdom of God, not the Jehovah's Witnesses, the kingdom of God, we being citizens of the kingdom of God, we being children of God, we love unconditionally. And really, really loving unconditionally says this, it makes this statement, that whatever is good for me should be good for you. That's what is personified. That's what is meant by the statement that is made that says, love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, Jesus gave us a higher commandment than that. He said, love one another as I have loved you, which simply means love one another unconditionally. And if I truly love you unconditionally, I do not want you to continue to walk around ignorant. I do not want you to continue to walk around not knowing what your belief is based on and not really being able to give yourself to believing. And so if you can't point to somewhere in Scripture that your belief is based on, if you can't explain to us why you believe what you believe, if you can't really, really understand why is it that you need salvation anyway, are you really truly believing? Is that something that you can say and defend, but say and defend with merit? Or is it something that you can just say and defend and not really know why you're saying it and not really know why you're defending it? And so we take our time. We take our time. We explain the Scripture. And with respect to the fivefold ministry, you know, we started this fivefold ministry call out probably a couple of years ago. We've been teaching on Friday for probably right close to a couple of years. And as a result, you know, we started out really, really emphasizing what the fivefold is, really, really emphasizing what is the role of the fivefold, really, really emphasizing what each gift represents, what each gift brings to the table. And so after a year and a half of that, when God placed it upon our hearts for us to start teaching the fundamental teachings of Christ, the fundamental teachings, the foundational teachings of Christianity, we brought that to the fivefold call because guess what? Every fivefold gift launches from the foundation. The foundation is set. The foundation of Christ, the foundation of who I am in Christ, the foundation of what my responsibilities as being a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom, what's my responsibility? And as it relates to my responsibility, whichever fivefold gifting, whichever supporting gift that I have, I am to launch that gift from the perspective of me understanding the foundation. If I don't understand the foundation, I can never really truly give myself 100% to this thing called spiritual gift, to this avenue that God has created, to this blueprint, if you will, that God has for building his body, for building his church, for building the body of Christ. And so, although you may not hear us mention a whole lot about the fivefold on every call, understand that everything that we teach is necessary for the fivefold. It's necessary for you to operate in the giftings that God has placed inside of you to bring to the physical realm, to bring to his creation, to bring to the body of Christ, and to those who are lost. So without any more explanation, we're also going to invite everyone who is busy, because we have callers who call in, who call and basically listen to the call, not really being a contributor, and that's fine. We encourage you to ask questions, to comment, to participate. But if you just getting on the call and you just have, you know, you have other things that you're doing. Some people are preparing for work. Some people are preparing their children for school. Some people have already gotten to work, and they really, really have to continue doing what they're doing. And so they call in. And so if you're one of those, we ask you, if you're going to be doing something, go ahead and hit *6 on your phone. That will mute your side, that will mute the mic on your phone, and our recording that we record these calls, because, see, a lot of these calls are recorded. Well, practically every call is recorded. And so in order for us to get a good, clean recording, we ask that you mute your phone, and so we don't get any interference. You get a chance to enjoy the call, and we go ahead and accomplish what God has set us for to accomplish. Okay, so this morning I said that we were going to deal with an aspect of Christianity that is very, very necessary in our understanding with respect to the operation of God, a principle that we cannot escape. We cannot escape this principle. Understand this. There is no way of escaping this principle. There is no way of sidestepping this. There is no shortcut to this. And so as a result of that, we need to make sure that we're very, very familiar with this teaching and the operation that and the results that come out of this teaching, okay? The operation and the results that come out of this teaching. And so this morning we're going to start off with Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That's Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, and we're going to start. It's the parable of the sower. And we're going to start here in the third verse, okay? And the Bible says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now he poses this statement. He says, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay? And the disciples came. Now watch this now. Pay close attention to this. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now notice. See, this is the classic representation of human nature. Okay? This is the classic representation of human nature. Notice the question that the disciples pose. Why are you talking to them in parables? Why are you talking to them in parables? But understand this. The disciples were right there. So why not say, why are you speaking to us in peril instead of them in peril? Okay? Watch this. So he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Pay attention. He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you. See, he didn't talk. He didn't answer their question with immediately addressing the question. He made them think about what this meant to them. He said unto them, but it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now watch this. For whoso hath, to him shall be given, but he shall have more abundance. But to whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, let's rest there a little while. Well, what does this mean? And I'm going to read this in the Amplified as well. I'm going to read especially that verse, that particular verse. It says like this. He says in verse 13. This is the reason. No. It is verse 11. I'm sorry, verse 11. Jesus replied to them. To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Now, wait a minute. So watch this. So understand this. Paul makes this reference in his writings that the mystery that has been made known unto him has been hidden before the foundations of the world. And many men have sought after that mystery, but not many has found it. But God had made this revelation known to him. Okay? So therefore, Paul makes reference to the entire gospel or the entire Old Testament or the entire writing as a mystery. Not just the parables that Jesus is making. So we can reasonably conclude from this statement that Jesus is making that Jesus is not just talking about what he's telling the disciples at that time. He's making a reference to everything that has been shared with everyone. So everything that has been shared with everyone has been shared on the same level. But because it's considered a mystery, some of what we need to know is we cannot find out by just reading what's there. Okay. Let me clarify that. Well, the parable that Jesus spoke to everyone was what he spoke to everyone. But when we read a little bit further, we're going to find out that he explains it to the disciples. So by him explaining it to the disciples, lets us to know that this qualifies as one of the mysteries that has been given to us to know. Okay? Now, what does he mean when he says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Well, we also know that Paul makes this statement that if the princes of this world had known, and I'm going to give you that verse, it's in Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and he's talking about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man in this particular context. But when you read it, it starts in probably about the fourth verse. It's the 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, starts at about the fourth or the fifth verse, and it goes probably to between the eighth and the tenth verse. And you can read that. Make a note that says that the wisdom of God the wisdom of God is not known to everyone. The wisdom of God is not given to everyone. The wisdom of God is given to those who are the children of God. James tells us that if any man likes wisdom. Now, when it says any man, he is not talking about any man that's out there. He's talking about any man that's in Christ. Any man that's in Christ, if he lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all and upbraideth it not. But that's to every kingdom citizen. Because if we look at it, and you know, you can easily say, well, no, he says any man. But if we say any man and we read these particular verses in Corinthians, we're going to find out that there's the wisdom of this world and there's the wisdom of God. So if any man could ask God for wisdom and God would give them wisdom, there would not be such a clear distinction between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Okay? All right. Now, going back where we were. Want to highlight that we are once again, we're in Matthew the 13th chapter. We just read the 11th verse. We're going to the 12th verse. Now he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. What does that mean to whosoever hath? Well, watch this. He is qualifying the disciples as them that have. What is it that they have? They have access. They have access to believe. Okay? They have access to believe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So because they have access to believe, it's given to them to know more. That's what is meant by the comment that says, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given, for whosoever hath, what is it that you have? You have more information so you can believe more. Okay? You have more information so you can operate in a greater level of faith. So, but look at verse 12. But whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away even that which he had. Well, wait a minute. If he doesn't have, how can he what he has be taken away? See, that's why we have to understand this as being belief. We have to understand this as being the ability to believe God, the ability to believe and operate in faith. That's what. If they don't have, even that which they have shall be taken away. Well, what is it that they have that shall be taken away? We know this. God tells us that every man is dealt a measure of what? Faith, right? So even that which they had shall be taken away. The Bible tells us in Romans that guess what? When they choose not to operate in the truth that has been shared with them, guess what? He gives them over to a reprobate mind, right? So the reprobate mind is what this verse is referring to as being what they had shall be taken away. So their ability to believe in that God has given us all a measure of faith, that measure of faith God takes away from them. So therefore, they cannot believe the gospel. That's what it means to be turned over to a reprobate mind. That means the reprobate mind is taking away your ability to believe the gospel. Papa Lewis gave us a tremendous example a few weeks ago when we went to visit him about concerning a dream that he had that I need to remind him to share with us. What he said he had wrote it up. And it was just awesome. I can't really explain it, but I promise I will share it with you again because we heard it, but it made such a tremendous impact. But what it basically said is this: is that God gives those things that the young man said that he believed after going to college. He gives them that, so therefore they can operate in doubt rather than operate in faith. So make it clear, Brother Jackson, what he's saying is God had gave him a vision. that showed him and spoke to him concerning all the evidences that man is utilizing to eliminate a belief in God. God said, yeah, right, right. God has given man the ability to reason so that man can have the ability to doubt. And so that which he, when it says here, from him shall be taken away even that which he had. What he had was that measure of faith to believe originally. But once he has determined in his heart not to believe in God, that ability to believe in God is taken away after a while. Now, you know, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. So that happens over a period of time. That's not something that just happens instantly. But after you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ so many times, God turns you over to a reprobate mind. And so that which you had, the ability to believe, is taken away. Now, let's go on a little bit further, okay? It's the scripture says it like this. He says, therefore, I speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So now watch this. Pay attention to this, okay? Because seeing they see not, that's not with your eyes. That's perceiving. Hearing, and they hear not. That's not hearing just with your ears. That means you've heard. That means that you've what? That means that you shema. The Hebrew word is shema. It means to hear with the intent of doing. So when you don't hear with the intent of doing, you haven't heard. When you hear with not having the intent of doing, you don't see. And if you hear without the intent of doing and you don't see, you can't understand. See that? So now, because this process is what you're operating out, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, by hearing, ye shall hear and shall not understand. And by seeing, ye shall see and not perceive. See, perceive is not a visual term. Perceive is a thinking term. It's a thinking term that says that I thought about it and I understood it. See, I thought about it and I understood it. I contemplated it, and I walked away understanding what happened. That's what perception is. Perception, to perceive a thing, is to look at it and see what all's going on and walk away from it understanding what went on. Okay? Okay, now, he goes on to say, the prophecy says also, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and be converted, and I shall heal them. So basically, perception after seeing, hearing with the intent of doing, which provokes your mind to want to perceive, provoking your mind to want to perceive is where you get the understanding. And when you understand, what you've understood has the ability to enter into your heart. So once it's entered into your heart, when you believe it, it has the ability to convert you. Converting you heals you. Now, understand this. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Watch this. Their eyes, they see. Ears, they hear, right? Well, guess what? Their eyes are not physical eyes. Their ears are not physical ears. And he's going to make sure they understand. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired, see that? Desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Watch this. So now, that let's go back to the comment I made about Paul. Paul said the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been hid before from the foundations of the world, right? Okay, so Jesus comes back and makes this statement. Look, many prophets have desired to hear those things and to see those things. In other words, to hear them and get an understanding of them, but have not been able to do that. But to you is going to be given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So just as the operation of the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, Christ is standing there, which is like the Holy Spirit being on the inside of us, because the Bible tells us from John 14 through John 16, the only thing that he's going to testify of are the things that I speak. That's what Christ said. Christ said the Holy Spirit is only going to tell you the things that I say, and he's only going to show you the things that I want you to know. So the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us is we're getting an example of it with Christ showing that to them. Okay? Christ is showing them, giving them the understanding of the parable. Now, it's so much in here, and I know it's going to take it's going to take a lot of time to go through this, but nonetheless, we're going to just give a little more out of this. Okay? Now, watch this. He says, for verily I say unto you that, okay, we read that. Now, verse 18, he says, hear the parable of the sower. Okay? Now, this is what I'm trying to tell you. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, notice this, it's the word of the kingdom. Okay? Notice, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. What you mean, Brother Jackson? Okay. Because the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ is part of the word of the kingdom. The gospel of Jesus Christ is how you enter into the kingdom. Now, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, but they don't understand it, the wicked one comes and catches away that which is sown in their heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So let's understand this. So when someone is witnessing to you, when you're in church, when you're sitting before the TV set listening to somebody preach the word, when you're on the bus riding and someone is talking about the word, when God is utilizing whatever avenue that he has, that he knows he can possibly get your attention, and he shares a word with you, if you don't understand that word, guess what? What happens is, how does the enemy come and take that word? Well, the enemy takes the word by giving you another word. Now, I want you to see this picture in your mind. Okay. Now, I give my wife a box. Okay? And the family knows that I've just bought her a 14-carat bracelet. Okay? Now, one of my daughters wants the 14-carat gold bracelet. And she wants the 14-karat gold bracelet, and she wants to give her mother a necklace that she bought. She looks at the bracelet, and she says, hey, man, can I trade you this bracelet for this necklace? She tells it to me. And I says, no, I bought the bracelet for your mother. So they're both in boxes. And so she wants to be deceptive, and so when I give my wife the box, she goes to my wife and says, Mama, he gave you the wrong box. And she takes that box away from her mother, and she gives her mother the other box. Well, guess what? When her mother opens up the box that her daughter gave her, because she doesn't know about the bracelet, man, she's excited. She says, wow, thank you. I really appreciate this bracelet or this necklace. Not knowing that if she opened the other box, the bracelet that her husband gave her was much more expensive, much more beautiful, and much more to her liking. So the box that was given to my wife by me, the truth, guess what? She gave the truth to my daughter and accepted what my daughter gave her, the lie. So in that example is how we see the wicked one coming and catching away that which was sown in your heart. The way that he catches away what is sown in your heart is that he gives you something else. Now, let's make it more practical. What he gives you is what he has given you. Okay? Well, what you mean when you say what he has given you? The stronghold that he has set up in your mind, or the stronghold that he desires to set up in your mind to cause you not to receive the word, is what he brings back to your mind. That's how you don't understand it. You don't understand it because you're trying to understand it through the information that you presently have in your mind. So you're trying to understand the truth. It's just like the young guy who went to college and totally walked away from having the ability to believe in Christianity. Well, guess what? From what the college taught him, it set up a stronghold in his mind, and now he's an atheist. He's an atheist. He doesn't believe that there is a God. Agnostic is a person that says there is no knowledge of God. Okay? So he's an atheist. So he is an atheist. And whatever you present to him, the evil one will steal it away from him based off of what he has taught him already. Mm-hmm. See? So he can never receive the word. He will never understand it because he will never have an open mind to what? To see, to hear, to see, to perceive, and to receive. To hear, to see. Because remember, hearing is Shema. I hear it with the intent of doing it. Well, he will never hear it with the intent of doing it because he doesn't believe that it has any truth in it. Okay? So now, he causes me to not receive the word. He causes me to not see that the word is important enough for it to give my attention to it. So then, therefore, when I go in church, I'm sitting there talking. Therefore, when I go in church, I'm playing on the phone, playing on Facebook. Therefore, when I go to church, I'm falling asleep. Therefore, when I go to church, I'm playing with the little baby, goo-goo-ga-ga. Because what I have been taught before makes me believe that what I'm hearing is not important enough for me to give my full attention to it. See, I don't shema it. I don't go to church hearing with the intention of hearing with the intention of doing. See, because if I go to church with the intention of hearing, so therefore I can do, I give my attention fully and totally to it. See, because I know when I leave there, I'm going to have to do it. So I'm right there. See, everything that's being said, I'm paying attention to it. I don't let my homegirl, I don't let my homeboy, I don't let the little baby, I don't let the phone, I don't let Facebook, I don't let the Texas, I don't let none of that distract me because I know that when I leave there, I'm going to have to do it. Okay? Stay with me. Okay, now let's go on a little bit further. Okay? Now, it says here, but he which receiveth he would receive it, verse 20, but he would receive it to see historically, it is the same as he that heareth the word and anon receiveth it with joy. Well, watch this. This person is very different from the first person. This person here is paying attention. This person here is being attentive. This person is not being distracted. This person is not playing on the phone. This person went and brought the baby to the nursery. Okay? So guess what? Man, they say that's a powerful word. Right? And they're shamaying it. They're receiving it with the intent of doing it. Right? But now watch this. Yet he had no root in himself, but endured for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises, why? Because the devil trying to steal something from me. No, because the devil is persecuting me. No, because you know what? My spouse did this, and it seemed like every time I get a word, and it seemed like every time I get victory. That's not what it says. It says when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. So the tribulation and the persecution comes because of the word. But why does it come because of the word, Brother Jackson? Because it's the word of the kingdom. And the word of the kingdom has to establish a belief in you, so therefore the kingdom can utilize you to express itself. You cannot express the kingdom not believing. See, you will not allow God to use you at your fullest potential if you don't believe. The kingdom cannot use you at your greatest potential if you don't understand. So watch this. So it has to check to see whether or not you believe it. So watch this. It's not checking so therefore God will know. It's checking so therefore you will know. So what happens when I know, Brother Jackson? Well, what happens when you know is this. When you know, you know. And you can give yourself fully to it. And we will get to that. We may not get to it today because I see time running away with us. But watch this. He says he endured for a while. So this person heard the word. This person started applying. This person contemplated this word in their mind and started to operate in that word. Okay? So that means that they started applying it. They started having their mind renewed by it. They started exchanging those old thoughts, that old expression and behavior, that old expression and thought, that old expression and emotion, and they started applying the word in that area. But guess what? When the time got tough, they went back to what they were doing before. They decided to utilize what they were taught before instead of taking advantage of what the word said for them to take advantage of. I think I'm going to stop there because I hear the Holy Spirit saying I need to give some examples. So I'm going to stop there, and we're going to pick up next week. We're going to pick up right there next week with examples of what happens when this situation here takes place, because this is very, very, very paramount. It is very, very, very important. So next week we will pick up with verse 21, Matthew 13, verse 21, and we will give some examples of what happens, some practical examples, so you will see how you should respond to this in certain situations or certain circumstances as it relates to operating in the word of the kingdom, because that is very, very important. That's where we're going as a body. Those of us who are connected to the word of God, those of us who are connected those of us who are connected to the kingdom, those of us who have received Christ, those of us who have an interest in receiving Christ, understand this. Understand that these teachings, these next teachings, are going to be so very important. They're going to be so very important because once you get the teaching, you are going to know what the trial is going to be. You're going to know what the test is going to look like. And so when the test comes, you will know it's the test. You will know how to respond to the test. And therefore, you will pass the test every single time. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments?
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Well, if there are no questions or comments, how about you, sweetheart? You don't have anything you want to say?
I'm probably like them, sitting here with my mouth open.
Okay. Glory to God. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
I will say this, that one scripture that you expounded on, when you said that he take away that we don't have.
Right.
I often wondered about it. How are you going to take away something that you don't have? And then you explained it. You know, you were talking about that measure of faith, you know, when you don't choose to operate in. And, you know, we often talk about it a lot. We see it a lot, not only in the lives of people that's around us. Sometimes, you know, I had to check myself. I found myself guilty of that as well. You know, a lot of people think because I'm married to you and I live with you, I always operate in the principle. No, I don't always operate in the principle. You know, it's a practice.
That's right.
It's something that you have to be deliberate about. You have to think about the principle, you know, and not only think about them, you have to hear them, like Shema, what they think of doing, and you have to believe them. And a lot of those things that manifest in your life that you believe in God for. So that we can be truthful in the kingdom, and we just won't be excited for a minute or get on a conference call or come into the prayer room during the week and not be strengthened, you know, just showing up just to say, I'm here.
Right.
You know, no, you know, but to actually apply the things.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you may not get it right every day, but you practice. Okay, you say, yeah, I missed it today. You know, I might miss it tomorrow, but that's not my intent.
That's right. That's right. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, if no one else has any comments or anything, we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. And we'll see you next week on the five-fold conference call. Go ahead.
For community, like you say, we have a teaching also on Thursdays as well. Yesterday was very powerful. We just want to invite y'all to just tune in. We have some young ladies on there that were very fearful to pray when they first came up in the prayer room, and now they're leading prayer, they're stepping out. In outreach, just praying for people. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. It's a place where we edify each other, call
Amen.
Each other to know that you are unique. You don't have to pray like Sister Jackson. Sister Jackson don't have to have a sweet little voice like you. You know, God made us all different.
Glory
and
God.
We have learned how to embrace who God called us to be. Therefore, we're seeing people step out and being more confident about who they are.
Glory
so we want to just invite y'all to just tune in, be a part of that prayer line at the same number at the same time.
Glory
so just connect as well. I just want to make mention of our day of Thanksgiving on November the 21st. Y'all get connected. Find out what's going on. It's an outreach, citywide outreach to the homeless. We're taking donations, coats, jackets, canned goods, whatever you got that you want to be a blessing with, we're glad to receive it. Y'all can let us know to send donations however you want to do it. Just know that we own a mission for God, and we're closing out with a call for 2015, and we're excited about 2016, and we hope you have great plans that you're expecting God to bring into fruition in your life and ministry as well.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am.
All right, if there's no more questions or comments. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this word, Lord. And Father God, we repent. We repent, Father God, for showing up in places to hear your word from your men and women of God, Father God, and just saying it and just not doing anything with it, God, not reproducing anything, not seeing any fruit come from it, God. And we ask you to forgive us for that. We know we're already forgiven, but we repent. We change our minds. We change the way we look at it. We change the way we perceive it, Father God, and cause us to believe like never before. And, Father God, we speak that over every listening ear this morning, God. Father God, we declare and decree this morning, God, that your will is done right here on earth as it is in heaven, God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, as we go this weekend, throughout this day, God, that you will use our lives, God. Father God, hallelujah, God, to bring hope, to be a ray of hope to someone that's around us, just down and out, depressed, God, frustrated, aggravated, bitter, angry, God. Father God, just have us to speak a word into their lives, God, that will change their course of destiny. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you for all, in all, and through all, and cause us to stand in that evil day, in that face of adversity and persecution, God. For you are in us, you're with us, and you operate through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Y'all go be blessed and have an awesome weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.